Good evening. If you wanted to follow along our lesson tonight, so far we have been looking at different verses, some passages. We're going to mix it up a little bit tonight. We're going to look at a whole chapter, chapter 24 in Jeremiah. That's where we're going to take our lesson. It seems like everything that has been done, some of the songs, Preston's Prayer, have made me think of some of the things mentioned in chapter 24 of Jeremiah. To sum it up, some of the main messages that I got out of it was God wants his people to follow him. Case closed. Not everybody will. And they will be dealt with. Another message in this, as we look at it, God uses different ways to get his will accomplished. He uses other nations. He used other nations, you know, in the past, Egypt. God didn't endorse the bondage that the Egyptians put the Israelites in. Didn't endorse that, but it was all for a purpose, that his power would be shown. It's no different than today. I sometimes get flustered with things that are going on in the world. And I have to step aside and I think, God's in control. Whether I like it or not, God is in control. And like he's done forever, he uses other situations. We were talking in Preston's Bible class this morning about the locusts destroying things. Uses sometimes natural elements, but God was in control of it. He uses civil governments to accomplish his will. He uses nature to accomplish his will. And those are some of the messages in this chapter 24. There's only 10 verses in chapter 24, and we will look at starting in verse 1. The Lord showed me, and there were two baskets of figs set before the temple of the Lord, after Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the craftsmen and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. This is about the Babylonian captivity. And the Lord God is still in charge. I've often wondered, even though the scriptures tell us, what it would have been like to have been in despair when you're being taken off into captivity, seemingly everything you know is being disrupted. You're thinking the end of life as we know it. But God is in control of this. And the Lord showed me, it says in Jeremiah. Verse 2, one basket had very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe. And the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then the Lord said to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" And I said, "Figs, the good figs, very good, and the bad, very bad, which cannot be eaten. They are so bad." Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge those who are carried away captive from Judah." I want to pause here real quick. Look at all the descriptions in these 10 verses that the Lord God tells Jeremiah that he does. "So will I acknowledge those who are carried away captive from Judah, whom I have sent out of this place for their own good, into the land of the Chaldeans. For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up." Again, God is in control. "Then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return to me with their whole heart." That's all God's ever wanted from his people, is to follow him with their whole heart. And if they stray, how many times in the Old Testament did Israel stray and get off the track? And then God's waiting for them. Like the father in the prodigal son parable, waiting for them to just come back with their whole heart. And as the bad figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so bad, surely thus says the Lord, so will I give up Zedekiah, the king of Judah, his princes, the residue of Jerusalem who remain in this land, and those who dwell in the land of Egypt. I will deliver them to trouble into all the kingdoms of the earth for their harm, to be a reproach and a byword, a taunt and a curse in all places where I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them till they are consumed from the land that I gave to them and their fathers. I'm reminded of what Paul said, you reap what you sow. They're only people, the Israelites are only going to get what they deserve. Those that strayed from God are going to be led away because of God. But those that are loyal to him and repent, the remnant will be blessed. I looked at some of the things that were in these 10 verses that God said about I, about God, about himself. He says, I acknowledge. As people, isn't that something that's important to us? We want to be validated. We want our voice to be heard. We want somebody to understand maybe what we're going through. God said, I acknowledge. It's the same thing he told Moses at the burning bush on Mount Sinai. I've heard their cry. I know their sorrows. When the Israelites were in captivity for 400 years, not the 70 that these people are going to be, don't you know they wondered, is God even hearing us? And he told Moses, I hear their cries. I know their sorrows. God says here, I acknowledge. He also says, I have sent them away for their own good. The situation they were in was able to preserve that remnant, to be able to keep the law from being destroyed. It kept intact the lineage of the future Christ. I have sent them away. And how many times are we in the midst, smack dab in the eye of the hurricane? The world whirling around beside us, and we don't know which way to turn. I have sent them away for their own good. We may not understand it at the time. We may not get it. I know most of the time I don't. I don't get it. But God does. And God's behind it. He says, I will set my eyes on them for good. God's desire for his people, his loyal people, are for good. He doesn't take pleasure in punishing. He doesn't take pleasure, oh, let's see how they like this that I'm going to throw at them. But it's for their own good. He says, I will build them up. Whenever you're torn down, you got to be built up. I will plant them. I will give them, this is God. I will give them a heart to know me. Not know of him, to know him. Most people on the earth are aware of a God, but very few know him. He says, I am the Lord. He says, I will be their God. I will give up Zedekiah. He's not going to be mine anymore. I'm doing away with him. Those that refuse to repent and fall, I will deliver them to trouble. They'll have nothing but trouble because of this. I will send the sword, famine, and pestilence. You look at those things right there. It's all from God, but he uses different methods. He uses the kingdoms just because he uses an outside worldly kingdom does not mean he endorses it. He doesn't endorse bad, but he may use the bad to accomplish his will for his people. Famine, pestilence, things that people fear, and the whole thing, it's from God. Just doesn't happen. It's part of God's plan. Talking about the figs made me think of some of the things that Jesus said. In John 15, verses 1 through 6, Jesus is saying very similar to what the Lord told Jeremiah, that the good's going to be preserved and the bad's going to be destroyed. That's what it boils down to. I am a simple person. I have to break things down to its basic elements to understand it myself. And I see a very big parallel in some of the message in Jeremiah to what Jesus is talking about here in John 15. Starting in verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. We hear Jesus use the word abide quite often in the Gospels. Abide means live. It's where we live. Not come by once in a while for a visit. Not just kind of a drive-by wave. Abide in him. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Don't know about you. I see a great parallel here in what Jesus is saying as what we see in Jeremiah 24. Jesus also said in Matthew 7, verse 20, toward the end of what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount, he says, therefore, by their fruits you will know them. In Jeremiah, the two baskets of fruit, it was clear. One, the Lord asked Jeremiah, what do you see? Well, God, I see two baskets of figs. One is a very good basket. The fruit is beautiful. I bet you it's sweet. The other basket don't look too good. In fact, they're rotten, unfit to eat. It's obvious. And Jesus says, you will know them by their fruits. It applies to us today. We're either good figs or bad figs. And the bad figs are unfit. Want to stop here. Don't want to get into chapter 25. I think in a couple of weeks I have Sunday night again. We will continue looking. Boy, would Dick have enjoyed tonight. Wouldn't have had any complaints about me going over. We will stop there, and we will continue in a few weeks on Jeremiah. We never want to leave an assembly without offering an invitation. The invitation is always open. God is always waiting for repentance. God is always, and we are too, eager for somebody to be baptized, eager for further study, eager to pray for and with somebody. If we can be of service, your brothers and sisters here at South Valley, please come forward, let your request be known. Be sure and refer to your bulletin this week for the people that need your prayers. And Kurt will lead us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.